there is real breakthrough here. You know, there are people who are getting breakthrough in all sorts of areas and all sorts of situations. And I just, and it's funny because in one sense, that's exactly what I want to speak about today. I'm quite excited. Oh, hello. Are you coming to talk? No, you're not. Okay. I'm quite excited about the fact that I've been let off the leash from Ephesians. Yes! I love Ephesians. It was great. You know, it was like, every week Ben would go, no, you've got to preach in Ephesians. And I'm going, no, I don't want to preach in Ephesians. Anyway, so I'm preaching in Hebrews today. How exciting. So we'll get to that in a minute or two. Here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the fact that actually I have confidence. It's really interesting, actually, particularly Maureen's picture, but also the stories that have been told. I have confidence that if God brings people here amongst us, I don't mean like physically here, although part of it is here, that actually God will bring breakthrough in their life. I'm now confident that actually that's what's going to happen. And so as a result of that, you know, I've been saying to people this week, I've actually said to them, you know, I think that if anybody came to our church now that had any kind of physical or emotional or spiritual issue, that actually if they stuck with us for a year, they would be healed. You know, I think it would take, I'm confident of that. I'm confident of that because I've heard testimony after testimony after testimony like the ones that we've had today. And actually, these are really important. I just think a few weeks ago in particular, it just struck me as we heard Jane came and spoke about how she'd been set free over a process of time through the sort of Shabar stuff that she's been doing. And actually, that has released you to be the person that God has called you to be. I remember, you know, I was thinking about Kirsty. Where's Kirsty? Kirsty was talking about the fact that, you know, that she had been, again, prayed for, and she was now fulfilling her heart's desire. She's now a wedding singer. I spoke about that to a bunch of folks, and, you know, huge cheers. Oh, you're there. I missed you there. It's so encouraging. It's so encouraging. People are kind of going, really? And I'm going, yeah, you should come and meet her. And this is a website, and you can book her for all events. Yes! There you go. And I think I'm working on commission. Anyway, so, I was listening to remember Sandra gave her testimony? She'd been years and years and years with depression and on medication. And now, you know, she's been 18 months, what is it? You know, without any of that sort of stuff. And God is healing people. God is healing people. You know, and you know, we can't, this is the thing. We can be confident that this stuff works. We can be confident that actually, if we bring people here, then they'll be healed and they'll be saved and they will be transformed. And actually, you know, the stories that we're hearing even today are actually stories of people who are being transformed. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about how can we grow in confidence in God? How can we grow in confidence in what he's doing? How can we grow in confidence in the gospel? And in one sense, I'm just going to reiterate some very simple things and just talk about how important they are. As I say, we can be confident that this place is a well of healing right here in this place. We've talked about the pool, but this whole thing of just being able to step in to this community. This community, this fellowship actually is a healing fellowship. As people get around about it and stay with it for a while, they are changed. They are transformed. Now, is that everything? Is it all sorted out? Is everything, every part of it all sorted? No, it's a process a lot of the time. But actually, you know, I'm confident of this, that the more that we step into this, the more confident we are to press into it, the more we'll actually find that God does these things. And the other thing I think is this, not only am I confident in the fact of God actually being able to heal people through us being together, but I'm confident, more confident than ever before of this, I'm confident that the gospel actually works in every situation. And in particular, I'm confident of the fact that if you bring folks who are spiritual seekers anywhere near us, then they'll get it. It's like they'll sniff it in the air. They'll kind of go, there's something here. There's something here, and they're after it, and they're kind of like, and that actually, I'm confident of this. I'm confident that God can do this. And actually, I think it's so important for us just to continue to recognize that we can be confident in the gospel. There is no place that the gospel is not able to go. No person that the gospel cannot reach. That there are folks that we look at, and I remember thinking, you know, I suppose when I was younger, I was part of the church, and you know, and it was a very sort of traditional church that I was part of, and I thought, I wouldn't bring my worst enemy to this. You know, I really wouldn't. You know, I'm only coming because my dad's the minister. You know, so, hey, don't say anything. but it's true, you know, and actually, I wouldn't have confidence that actually, you know, that they would hear it, but I'm confident now in a way that I've never been before. I'm confident now that actually when people come around us, they will just get it because Jesus is here amongst us, that Jesus is touching people's life. Jesus is working through our life. Just begin. And you know, it's not because of the fact that we're perfect. Let's be honest, it's not because we're perfect. Oh no, 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 no delusions here. We're not perfect, but in our brokenness, Jesus meets us. That's the thing that attracts people. It's not because we're, you know, holier than thou, because we're not. You know, we're really not. Some of us definitely not. Sorry, didn't mean to look at you there, Gary. but you see, this is the thing, actually. We're not holier than thou. We're not actually saying that we're holy and that we're all sorted out. We cling to Jesus. He's our only hope. He's the only one that's able to do this stuff. That's why we're confident that the gospel works. Because it works for us. We're kind of going, you could be anyone you like. I'm telling you, this is going to work for you. I sat and had a conversation with someone this week, and I can't tell you who it is, but it was someone quite close to us, not a Christian. And we had a long conversation. Well, I was then in London, and we had a long conversation, and she was telling me about her life, and she was telling me about things that are going on in her life. She was telling me about stuff that wasn't working out, and she was telling me this, that, and the next thing. And I just sat and I explained to her. So I said, well, you should try this thing. Basically, what's happened is that this person that's dealt with you in that way has caused you an offense, and what that's done is it's like it's tied you up, hasn't it? And they went, yeah, I feel really, I feel really tied up. And she said, yeah, and actually, even you know, and even after the offense, and even if they've gone right out of the way, you still feel like that, don't you? You feel quite sort of bound up. Oh yeah, I totally do. I can't get rid of it. I can't get free. I said, I know a thing to do. Do you know what you do? You just, I tried to explain forgiveness to them. I basically said, you're able just to let them go. You just decide, you make a choice. You say, I'm not going to be bound up by that anymore. I'm not going to receive that anymore. I'm not going to accept it anymore. He said, really? I went, uh-huh. She went, does that work? And I went, oh yeah, you try it. And she went, okay. And thought, I went away and after about sort of, you know, we talked about different things. We talked about, you know, different things. And basically, I was just explaining how Christianity works in practice. I was kind of going, you know, this is how forgiveness works. This is how you get release. This is actually how you do these things. This is how you get freedom. I didn't use any of that language, but I was explaining to her how Christianity works. Anyway, at the end of the conversation, she sort of said, she said, you know, there's something about you. And I said, uh-huh. She said, you know, I think that you think that you're a, it was a strange phrase. I think that you think that you're a favorite. That's a strange phrase, isn't it? And I said, do you know, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I am a favorite. I am a favorite. I'm favorite. And I said to her, and then I said, after this long conversation, I said, do you know where all this comes from? And she looked at me and went, And I went, this all comes from my faith in Jesus Christ. I am a favorite of the Father in heaven. He loves me. Admittedly, he loves everyone else just as much. There is actually no favoritism, it says in James. But we're all equal favorites, you know. I am the apple of my Father's eye. I absolutely am. I'm confident of this. And I said to her, do you know the reason why actually I can stand secure and I'm able to deal with these things when they come up in my life? It's because I know that God loves me. It's because I know I'm secure in his love. I know that nothing will take him away. Nothing will take me away from him. Nothing will stop that ever happening. It's the bedrock. It's the anchor. It is the solid ground in which I live. You want to know how to live with confidence and freedom. This is where you start. This is how you do it. This is all about. And I said, there endeth the lesson. That's the only thing I'm going to say about that. And she went away, and I thought, we'll wait and see what happens. But I was just interested in this whole thing of, you know, of actually she could see that actually this stuff works. This stuff, this gospel stuff, this life-transforming stuff, it actually works. It really does. And we can have confidence in the gospel. Let me read to you from Hebrews chapter 10. And reading from verse 19 through to verse 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence in what? Well, in entering the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good works. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. And then verse 35 says, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. The absolute essence of confidence in the gospel is rooted in confidence in our relationship with God. Confidence that we can enter the most holy place, that we can walk right up to God the Father and not feel the burning kind of sense of our shame or guilt or any of the things that that very naturally we would feel, but we confidently come because we know that Jesus is on us. He's covering us. His blood covers our sins. It washes us away. And so instead of God seeing us as we are, he sees us through the blood of Christ. He sees us as pure and holy and righteous. Why can we sing songs about raising holy hands? Not because of what we have done, but because of what Jesus has done for us. How can we be confident of what God is going to do? Because we know what Jesus has already done for us. We can be confident of the fact that actually we can do amazing things for him. Why? Because we stand on the bedrock and in the solid ground, knowing that there is nothing which can dislodge us from the place of love and acceptance in the presence of the Father Almighty. There is nothing that we can do which would stop him from loving us. He has said that. He's declared that. He has shown it. He has gone to the cross to make it known to us that he wants us to know him and to have nothing between us and him. There is no barrier between us and God that we cannot simply plead the blood of Christ for and walk through into his presence. When he calls us by name, we can enter into his presence. We can walk right up to the Father in heaven. In our spirit, we can walk up to his, and we can know that his approach to us is this. Just as it was with Jesus with the children, he says to us, come to me, little one. He calls us by name. He calls us up, and he actually says, Alan, come to me. Come on, up on my knee. Sit and listen to me while I whisper secrets into your ear. Sit and listen to me while I tell you how much I love you. Cooey in, my son. It's okay, you can be quiet in here. You don't need to do anything. You're my boy. I love you. And that is because that confidence is not... And it's not an arrogance, it's a promise of God. It's the confidence that we can enter into the Holy of Holies, into the very highest place. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Why do we have confidence that actually all of this stuff works? It's because Jesus has made a way. It's because actually he has made it possible for us to be transformed, for our lives to be transformed, for people to be healed, for that guy, you know, to get off drugs and off his smoking, and actually to know with confidence that when he walks through the park and he finds someone who's needing help, he knows where to take them. He's going to bring them to church. He's going to bring them to Christians because he knows that there is a place of freedom and deliverance. We can have confidence in this. We can have confidence in what God is doing amongst us. We can have confidence that now we are learning. We've learned something in the last few years. We've learned how to share the faith with people who are spiritual seekers. And actually, people who are just hungry and know that there's something that they're looking for. We can be confident of this. So we must not give up meeting together, but instead we should spur one another on. We should do what we're doing today. We should tell each other stories. We should sort of say, did you hear what happened over there in Johnston Healing Rooms? Fantastic. Next week, when something else happens, you listen to it and you go and you tell other people. Why? Because it stirs us up to works of good. And God actually loves that. He loves it when his children are confident of this, that actually the things that have been done for us, he will do for others as well. That's why we have confidence, because of what Jesus has done for us. That's why we have confidence in the gospel. That's why we have confidence that actually he can do even greater things than these. And that's what we want to do. We want to become those who are confident. And listen, it's not, let me be clear, it is not confidence in action. It's not confidence in things that are going to happen. It's not confidence in you know, our activities or, you know, in one sense, it's absolutely not about the healing rooms. It's absolutely not about the getting ministry. It's absolutely not about any of the things that are going to happen for people. The confidence doesn't come from the fact that we are involved in seeing things happen. The confidence comes absolutely from knowing our identity in God. It absolutely comes from the bedrock of knowing that we are sons and daughters of the King of Kings. I love the fact that I am a prince in the house of a king. I love the fact that I am his and he is mine. That's what the scriptures say. And it's when we press forward into these things, because we will find that there are going to be times where we're going to try things and we are going to get our, you know, we're going to get bloody noses. We're going to find that we're going to press forward and actually we're not going to see the progress that we make. And the temptation then would be to say, well, it didn't work. And actually we can't have confidence in this. And that's why I'm saying you don't have confidence in the action or the outworking. You stand in that place of confidence in your relationship with God. That is a bedrock. That is a place from which everything else functions. And that will never change. That is never going to change. It doesn't alter with circumstances. It doesn't change over time. It isn't based on whether or not you feel it. It's not about your emotions. It's not about what anybody else says. It's about the truth of the Word of God, which we can stand on with confidence because it is there all the time. It's consistent and true. Why are we confident as we step forward? We're confident because we stand on that bedrock of relationship with Jesus Christ. Isn't it great? Isn't it great that God can do that? And for those, Lord, that just feel today that they need again to stand on the rock because it feels as though it's crumbled from underneath them or they've fallen off it or whatever it is. Lord Jesus, have mercy upon us. Oh God, I've been like that too. You know, I've been like that too. I've been like that too this week sometimes, where I just felt I can't do this. Lord, would you bring our feet onto a solid platform, we pray. We ask, Lord God, I ask, Father, that today in this place there would be such a revelation of the love of the Father poured out for us through Jesus Christ, that we would understand what it is to have the blood of Christ that washes away our sins so that you don't see us as we are, but you see us pure and holy through Christ. Lord, would you do this work? Only you can do it. Even my words are not enough, Lord. God, we recognize that. It's got to be in a spirit, an interchange in our spirit where we just get it. Lord, I thank you for the confidence that comes in action from that. But Lord, let us not place our confidence in things that we have seen. Let us not place our confidence in activities that we have done. But instead, Lord God, again, I just ask that you would root us and establish us on the bedrock of Christ. Thank you, Jesus, that you don't condemn us. Thank you, Jesus, that you don't say to us, you've got this wrong. You know, you've got this. Where have you been? How stupid are you? All that stuff. That's all from the enemy. Thank you, Jesus, that you just simply say, come on, come to me. Come to me, all those of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. Stand here with me. I'll be your security. I'll be your protection. I'll be your guide. I'll be the one that speaks to you. I'll be the one that gives you hope. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, would you do this, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's the thing I want to say. If we're confident in the God, if we're confident in our relationship with Jesus, and we're confident about what God is doing amongst us, then we will press on. We'll press on with confidence into all the things that God wants us to do. And for us as a church, we've articulated our vision as being that we want to become like an urban monastery, picking up some of the kind of Celtic roots of our faith. We want to become an urban monastery, and the urban monastery vision has five elements to it. So the urban monastery vision basically is about being a mission base. It's about being a centre for creativity. It's about a place for training and equipping. It's about being a centre for healing and renewal. And it's also about being that place of prayer and worship, with the very prayer and worship at the very centre of what we do. And I was thinking about, if we have confidence in the gospel, then what is it that we're going to, what does pressing forward, what will it actually look like? And actually, what it will look like is, it will look like more and more of us actually living in that place of peace in our life. It will look like more and more of us living well. It will look like more and more of us having joy. It'll look like more and more of us having life in all its fullness. That's actually what it'll look like. It'll look like personal transformation. The stories that we've talked about already are part of what will happen as we continue to press forward in the confidence of being rooted and established in God. The more we know that we're the favorite of the Father, actually, the difference, you know, it just changes our heart, it changes our posture in life, and actually allows us to live with confidence, and we're able to actually step forward and do things in a different way. And so it will mean outward things. It will mean, you know, it will impact the whole of church life and stuff like that. But first and foremost, it's actually about personal change. It's about personal transformation, to be made more and more like Jesus every day. You know, and that's not to say that we lose ourselves in the midst of that process. Amazingly, you know, we still get to be ourselves. Even in heaven, you know, we will be very clearly recognizable as who we are. But at the same time, God says, you know, he will transform us to be more and more like Christ. And there's some amazing, wonderful, mystical thing in the midst of all of that. So the first thing is this: how do we press on? What are we going for? We're going for people continuing to be changed. We're going for individuals continuing to be changed. That's what we're trying to do. That's what we're about, okay? It'll happen in a whole variety of ways, but it's going to be fundamentally about the one that's in front of us. It's about the people that we meet. It's not about any great program. It's not about anything else. It's about the kids that we meet as we go down the street, and the ones that we're kind of involved in through the week. It's about the individuals. It's about the people we work with. It's about the folks that are in our families who are continuing to struggle. It's about the fact that, you know, it's about continuing to pray for breakthrough for them. It's continuing to see these things happening. If it isn't about that and it becomes about programs and activities and all the rest of that guff, then it will have completely lost the point of what it's about. Jesus wants to see individuals transformed, okay? So in everything that we're pressing forward for, we continue to say it is about this one here, right in front of me. All right? But we will be pressing forward as a church for some significant things, if you like, corporately. One of the things that we're going to be doing is in terms of mission, the mission-based stuff, as an articulation of this, is this. I had an opportunity to write a position paper. I get to write position papers. I'm quite important now because I write position papers. You know, please would you write a position paper on blah, 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 whatever. And I'm not so important, however, because what normally happens is I write the paper and it causes apoplexy amongst the people that it goes to. And they go, nope, we're not doing that. And so we haven't quite got to the stage where it's, you know. But anyway, never mind. So position paper, and it was about... it's about training for leaders in the church in Scotland. So that was what I was writing this thing. And basically what I said was, over the next 10 years in Scotland, I think we need to plant 500 new churches. That's what we need to do. We need 500 new churches. And the maths are very simple. It's just that if you look at churches which are completely unsustainable in terms of the size and impact that they're having on their community, and you look at the churches which have been influenced substantially by a liberal theology, which actually isn't ever going to take anyone to Jesus, if you look at that, very simply, you're looking at about a third of the church. And there's about 1,500 churches, Scotland parishes, which identify communities. And although there's a whole lot of other denominations, very simply put, a third of 1,500 is 500 churches. So I reckon 500 churches need to be planted. Actually, I think they probably needed to be planted 10 years ago. But since we didn't do it 10 years ago, let's get started now. So in the next 10 years, I think we need to plant 500 churches. And for that to happen, what we need is to train at least 1,000 church planters to be able to make that happen. Okay. Now, we're involved in Invest, and over the last 8 years, we've actually trained 45 people, and they're involved in 20 new projects. So 20 out of 500. I reckon that we need to work a lot more, continue, but interestingly, we also need to partner with other people, and that's actually what's going to happen. And so for us, we're going to continue to be a place which trains and equips people to start new churches in other places, to do new mission activities. How are we going to press forward? What are we pressing forward with confidence for? It is for the total transformation of our nation. It is that we would be able to see in our time and in our stay, in our life, a place, a worshiping community in every community and network in Scotland. That's what we're after. We're nothing less. So I reckon that 500 in the next 10 years, I reckon probably 1,000 in the 10 years after that, will actually get us to where we want to be. And I think that if we do that, then actually, I'm telling you, the hope of the nation is local fellowships like ours, that they would actually be able to come in and discover what Jesus is like for themselves. That's what we want to produce. And actually, I reckon that that's worth actually working for the next 20 years. I don't know what I'll do after that, but in the next 20 years, that's what we're doing. And there's a whole lot of partners who are interested in this stuff as well. So the paper's going to go to, it's a meeting of people who are involved, and so it's folks like the Bible College and people from Destiny Church and one or two other churches around the place. And actually between us, I think that there's a possibility that we actually have the capacity to be able to do this. Yeah, absolutely. It's going to happen. So that's good news. And one of the things that we're going to be doing locally is that in 2010 we ran a mission school for the first time. Some of you were at it, and we've now come to the point where we're actually saying that we're going to run another mission school in 2013. So June of 2013, the first full week of June 2013, we're planning to run another mission school. Now the mission school basically drew together 25 teams from all over Scotland and Sweden. And I don't know what the Swedish guy, I don't know how the Swedish guys got in, but anyway, so 25 teams from mostly Scotland and Sweden, and they get trained in all sorts of different missions, and then they've gone back out again. It has had an incredible impact, the teams that have gone. Some of you were part of that, and we continue to hear story after story how actually that mission school has actually equipped people who were right at the front end of the evangelistic task in a whole variety of different ways. And so the plan for 2013 is to not quite redo it. It's going to have other new and exciting innovations alongside it. But certainly the plan is to do that. And I can tell you, as of this week, that Bob Johnson is coming back. He's going to be one of our main speakers. Big Bob, yes, to cause trouble and see how much. Yeah, never mind. Anyway, Bob's coming. which is great. And we think, and Chris Duffett, the beautiful, wonderful Chris Duffett is coming as well. So, who is now, bizarrely, the president of the Baptist Union of Great Britain. He became the Baptist Union, president of the Baptist Union like 2 weeks ago. How strange is that? The world really is changing. Anyway, he's coming as well. So the mission school is going to be next year, and we're just keeping pressing forward, although there's programs, although these are activities, I want to come back to saying that it's all about the one, it's all about the individuals, it's all about individuals being changed. I think that so that's about mission base. In terms of creativity, I think that we're seeing something beginning to happen in terms of creativity, but I want to say that I know that there's so much more. Come on, the choir. Come on, the choir. That's you. Get on with it. Come on, the creatives. You know, there are folk who are creative amongst you that actually, we want to say, this is, we all have different ways that we paint on God's canvas, all right? So, some of us just draw stick men. Others of us are slightly more artistic than that, but the point is that we all have our own colours that we paint in, and actually, I think it's important for us all to find some way to be able to express something of the creativity that God has placed within us. And I think that that's really important. It's very interesting, I think, that this year at Clan Gathering there's a huge creative team and a whole sweep of things that are going to happen at Clan. And the reason for that is this, that actually, about a year ago, I had a conversation with Charity Bowman, what's her second name? Webb, thank you. She talked to me and she said, you know how we've been doing all this stuff in terms of sort of spiritual seekers and connecting with them, and how that's a key to help in terms of equipping the body of Christ? She said, creativity is going to be one of the next things. You watch and see. And I said, you're right. Come and do it at Clan. So she's coming with about 35 folks, and it's going to be absolutely amazing. So if you're not coming to Clan, come to Clan. It's going to be brilliant. But there's more to happen here. There's more to happen here. I think it's really just important to be able to say that. In terms of equipping and training, we're committing ourselves to doing this. What the old monastic tradition was this, that what they did was that they actually established a church, then a place of worship, and then they built a school. And from the school, actually most of our universities have actually come from the monastic sort of establishments in different places, because they valued education, they valued people learning, and they valued people being trained and equipped. And actually what it does is it speaks for us about this quality of the importance of the ministry of the whole people of God. Everybody has a gift. Everybody has something to do. Everyone has something that they can contribute to. And actually in the past what used to happen was that people used to get dog collars and 6 years of theological education, and basically they were the experts. I don't use the word I or we. They were the experts because they did the thing. And actually, there was a whole thing about this one man ministry, usually a man, and we want to break that pattern because it's ungodly. We believe in the ministry of the whole people of God. We believe that actually everybody has something to play. If that is true, then we should be investing in each and every one of you. Each and every one of us should be invested in again and again to get us deeper into the things that God has called us to. And that is one of the commitments that we're making, that we're actually going to continue to do that, continue to train, to equip. Why we put on different courses, We just had the People in Pain thing. We're going to have other courses that are coming that will actually help. And again, some of folks have been at the streams. People were here this weekend, just the last kind of couple of days, and some of you have been involved in that, and again, just great stuff. So we're committing ourselves to that. The community of healing and renewal is a really interesting one for us. I think that there's an opportunity for us actually to become a real therapeutic community, a healing community, and I think that there's opportunities for us to do that in a whole variety of different ways. And I believe that that's going to come over the next year or two. We're actually going to see more and more of that happening, so that actually, genuinely people come. Yeah. I was thinking about Lourdes, and I was thinking, Whitinch, the Lourdes of Scotland. Interesting. running bus. No, that's not a good image, is it? No. Okay. Anyway, but I'm telling you, people will come when they know they can get healed. You know, we just need a few more of these stories just breaking out. And I'm telling you, people will come because they know that this is the place that they'll get healed. And people are desperate. You know, they're desperate for a touch of God. They're desperate for these things. So, you know, this is a place where actually there's a deep well for healing. And we want more of that. We're pressing in for more of that. The last thing is this whole thing of being having prayer and worship at the very center and at the very heart of what it is that we're supposed to do. And this is the moment to plug, where are you? Pursue, which is tonight, 7 o'clock. So if you want to just come to worship and to pray and just to seek God's face and go for it, then Pursue is a great thing we do once a month, and I want to encourage you to be part of that. But I think that actually for us over the next wee while, if there's going to be a focus on anything, it's actually going to be a focus on this part of actually kind of building the heart of worship and prayer at the very center. It is the beating heart of all that we do, because it's about intimacy and being with Jesus. And actually nothing else works without this bit working. So we're really going to pursue these things. So I want us to be confident. God wants us to be confident. Confident in Him, first, foremost, always and ever. But from that, just beginning to see things happening that perhaps we never thought would happen. See these guys in Holy Trinity Brompton? It's been 20, 25 years. They are making an impact on millions of people. There are millions of people who are now come to faith because of what's going on. They are making an impact on London, and I think to a certain extent on the Church of England around that whole area. And I just think, you know, we need to have that same aspiration, that same expectation, that actually, and you know, not necessarily in the next year, but say in the next 10 years, in the next 15 years, in the next 20 years, that we can actually see this happen in Scotland. Because I'm telling you now, in case you didn't know, God loves our nation. Absolutely does. Loves our nation enough to send His Son to die. He is mad in love with us. And so we can be confident that He wants to do this. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank You, first of all, for Your love. We thank You for Your goodness and kindness. We thank You that You speak Your words of adoption over us. You say, "You're my son, You're my daughter, in whom I am well pleased." Thank You, Lord, for that. Thank You that it is out of that place of knowing our security in You that everything else comes. But thank You, Lord, that this stuff works. No matter whether people recognize You or not, Christianity, as it works out, actually makes a difference. It works in every situation, because this word, Your Bible, is full of wisdom that just says this is the way to live. But thank You also for the ways in which we have seen breakthrough in people's lives. We long for more of that, Lord. We long for more of that. And we thank You, Lord, that You're leading us forward into seeing people's lives changed. Lord, help us never to forget that this is rooted and established in our relationship with You. That whole thing of prayer and worship at the center, Lord. We don't want to lose that ever. We don't want to forget our first love. We want to be in that place of intimacy, that place of proximity, closeness with You. And from that, Lord, we want to thank You that it's actually going to be a transformation of the one that's in front of us. Thank You that it's about individuals. Thank You it's about individuals we know. Thank You it's about our friends and our family and our neighbors and our colleagues. Thank You, Lord, that You're calling us to be confident, and therefore to press on. To press on, to believe that actually these things that we have seen can be for so many others as well. So Lord, lead us, we pray. We want to say once more, Lord, that we are committed to you and to your ways and to your purposes, to your plans. And we're committed, Lord, to living our life in such a way as to see these great things of the kingdom come to pass. We don't want to waste our life on other things. We want to give our life for these great things. And so, Lord God, once more, we submit to you as a church, as leaders in the church, as the church itself. And we say, Lord Jesus, would you lead us on the unknown path? On that path where we don't know what we're doing, but you do. Where we have no resources, but you have everything. Where we are not able, but you can do all things. And Lord God, as you lead us on that place, where we sometimes have to just get on our faces before you and cry out to you, Lord, we thank you that you will lead us to that complete transformation of our families, of our community, of our city, of our nation that comes when people give themselves entirely for you. So once more, we say, lead us on. We are yours. We give ourselves to you. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. And we bless you now. In Jesus' name. Amen.